It's almost midnight. May is 24. She works remotely. Her apartment is tidy, and her phone screen is the brightest thing in the room. She's been scrolling for 40 minutes, not looking for anything in particular, just not ready to stop yet, because stopping means noticing how quiet it is. She knows 1,200 people online. She could text any of them right now. She won't, because she doesn't know any of them that well, and also she doesn't know what she'd even say. She finished a video last week, episode 1, Build from Nothing, and something in it landed, that idea about close circles and giving that comes back around. And then the doubts showed up, not one doubt, three, and they're sitting on her chest right now like a stack of books she hasn't opened yet. So let's open them. Here they are, and I'm going to name them the way they actually sound in your head, not the polished version. Doubt 1. Isn't this old people stuff? The close circles. The give first. The building real community. That sounds like something your grandma did, not something for someone who's lived half their life on a screen. Doubt 2. I'm too online for this. I didn't grow up making casseroles for neighbors. I grew up with Discord servers and group chats. Maybe I'm just wired differently now. And doubt. 3. This is the quiet, sharp one, the one people don't usually say out loud. If I reach out first, if I give first, won't people just use me? Take what I offer and disappear? These aren't lazy questions. They're the smart questions of someone who has already tried the easy version, the likes, the follows, the feed, and noticed it didn't do what it promised. Book 2 takes all three seriously. Let's go through them one at a time. Okay. Doubt 1, isn't this whole thing, close circles, give first, real community, just old people stuff? And my answer is yes, and that's exactly why it works. Not old, like outdated. Old, like it's been true for every generation of humans that has ever lived, including the one staring at a phone right now. Needing a few people who actually show up. Not just a notification from them, but them. That is the single most consistent thing in all of human history. It doesn't turn off because you grew up with fast internet. It doesn't expire. Here's the thing nobody wants to say. The part that's new isn't the need, it's the substitutes. The follows and the likes and the group chats, those are new. They convinced a whole generation that the need could be filled with something faster and easier. It can't. The need is still there, exactly where it always was, and it's still looking for the same thing it always looked for, a few real people who know you and show up. That's not old people stuff. That's the oldest thing there is, and you still have it in you, and it's still pointing at the same answer. Doubt 2. I'm too online for this. I grew up on screens. Maybe I'm just wired differently now. Maybe the circuitry for close connection got rerouted somewhere. And I want to take this one seriously, because it's the one people feel most ashamed of, and the shame is unnecessary. Here's what's actually true. Spending a lot of time online doesn't rewire your need for real people. It just gives you a lot of practice at connection-shaped things that don't quite land. Think of it this way. If you ate cereal for every meal for 10 years, you wouldn't lose the ability to enjoy a real meal. You'd just be a person who's been eating cereal, who is maybe a little hungrier for something real than someone who never tried the substitute. That's you. You haven't lost the capacity. You've been fed something thin and called it enough, and of course you're still hungry. The cure for two online isn't a digital detox. It's one real person in your life, present, who knows something true about you. That's it. One. And being online hasn't taken that from you. It's actually been trying to show you what you're missing. That restless scrolling at midnight is the proof, not the damage. Here's something worth knowing, because it's been looked at carefully and it shows up in the research pretty consistently. People who feel lonely, not just alone, but that particular feeling of not being known, are also more likely to feel tired, to get sick more easily, to find it harder to concentrate. Loneliness isn't a mood, it's a state your whole body is in. And researchers who study this keep finding the same thing. What actually changes that state is not more contact with more people, it's being known by a few. A big network with no real depth tends to leave the loneliness exactly where it was, sometimes worse. A small number of people who actually know you tends to change things. Now, I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm saying it because it's the direct answer to doubt too. If you feel the two online exhaustion, if you feel that thin and still hungry feeling, that's not a character flaw. That's your nervous system doing exactly what it's supposed to do, looking for what it hasn't found yet. You're not broken. You're just pointed at the wrong answer for a real question. Okay, doubt 3, and this is the one I want to spend the most time on because it's the most honest one and the most misunderstood. Won't people just use me? If I give first, reach out first, offer first, be generous first, won't people take what I have and go and leave me worse off than before? Good. Yes, some people will, and I am not going to tell you they won't, because that would be insulting your real experience. But I want to show you why this doubt has the wrong fear baked in. Not a wrong fear, the wrong fear. The fear is that giving first makes you a target. Here's what Book 2 actually says. Giving first is how generous people find each other. Not surveillance. Not a test. Not a way of watching who passes so you can decide who to keep. Generous. When you give something to someone, a real introduction, a resource that helps them, 20 minutes of your actual attention, you're not sending out a trap. You're just being the kind of person that the right people want to be around. And something quiet happens. The people who take and vanish tend to vanish. And the people who notice what you did, who feel it and are moved by it, who give something back when they can, those people stay. And now, the smart follow-up to doubt 3, and I can hear it already, okay, but what about people who really just take? Who are skilled at this? Who go from generous person to generous person, taking and taking and never giving anything back? And here's where I want to be honest with you. Because Book 2 doesn't pretend takers don't exist. They do. And if you've been that well, the one-way well we talked about in the last episode, you know what that feels like. Here's the key. Giving first doesn't mean giving endlessly in one direction with no eyes open. It means opening the flow. And with your eyes open, you notice, over time, who's only ever on the taking side. You don't need a spreadsheet. You don't need to track favors. You just notice, naturally, over a few weeks or a few months, whether the people in your life tend to give back when they can, even in small ways, in their own time, in their own form. The ones who never do? You don't owe them a confrontation. You just let that thread go quiet. The giving stays generous. It just finds better ground. That's not cold. That's honest. And it's very different from giving into a one-way well until you're dry. So let's put all 3 doubts and all 3 answers on the counter at the same time, because there's something worth seeing in how they line up. Doubt 1. Old people stuff. The need hasn't changed. Only the substitutes are new. That doubt was really asking, is this still real? And the answer is, it's the realest thing there is. Doubt. 2. Online, you're not wired differently. You're just hungry for what the feed can't give you. That doubt was really asking, am I still capable of this? And the answer is, of course you are. The restlessness is the proof. Doubt 3, won't people use me? Give first, is how generous people find each other, and keeping your eyes open isn't the same as keeping score. That doubt was really asking, is it safe? And the honest answer is, no, not perfectly. But neither is staying behind the glass and only watching. The question is, which risk costs you more? The risk of being taken once in a while, or the risk of staying unknown? May, at midnight, with 1,200 contacts and that particular quiet, she already knew the answer. She just needed to hear someone say it wasn't naive to act on it. All right, same as last time, let's bring this here, to you. Because the doubts stop mattering the second you leave them in May's apartment and don't bring them to your own life. 3 honest questions. Don't rush. First, which of the 3 doubts was yours? Not which one sounded smart, but which one was actually sitting on your chest? Because the answer to your doubt is the one you need to carry forward, and it's slightly different for each of them. If it was doubt 1, your move is about the need. It's real, and it's not going away. If it was doubt 2, your move is about capacity. You have it, and one real person will prove it to you faster than any amount of convincing. And if it was doubt 3, the one about whether it's safe to give first, your move is the most specific. You give one thing, generously, with open eyes, and then you just watch. Not with a scorecard, with curiosity. Second, who is one person in your life right now who deserves something from you that costs you almost nothing to give? A real introduction, a link you know would help them, 10 minutes of full attention? Just one person. Third, what would you give them? Not a favor you've been owing for years. Just one fresh thing, freely, because that's the shape of who you want to be. Your move this week is built directly out of the answers. Here it is, and it's small on purpose. Pick one person, the one you thought of a minute ago, works fine. Give them one thing this week. Real introduction? Something you know would help them. 20 minutes of full attention. A link you found that actually fits what they're working on. Pick the one that costs you the least and means the most to them. And here's the part that matters. You give it with no scoreboard. You are not testing anyone. You are not watching to see if they pass. You're just being the kind of person you want to be in the world, and you're letting that stand on its own. Now, you're allowed to notice. Gently, over the next few weeks, whether people tend to give back in their own time, in their own form. That noticing is just called having your eyes open. But you don't track it. You don't record it. You don't bring it up. If someone gives something back, you receive it with an open hand. If they don't, you let the thread go quiet. And you do the same thing again next week. One person, one thing, no scoreboard. That rhythm, kept up over a few months, is how you find out who your real people are. Not by asking, by watching what the giving actually does. So that's book 2. Your doubts aren't obstacles. They were honest questions, and every one of them has an answer that holds up. Old people stuff? It's the oldest real thing. 2 online? You're still capable. The restlessness is the proof. Won't people use you? Give first is how generous people find each other. With your eyes open, no scoreboard. One person, one thing, this week. The obvious next question, and it's coming because someone is watching this right now and thinking it, is easy to say, but I'm stretched pretty thin. I don't have much to give. So that's exactly where we go next, how you give first, when your own account is hovering near zero, and why you're already richer than you think. Watched over, as always, by Daisy. I'll see you there.